All right. Good morning. My name is Dove, and I'm one of the pastors here at the Rio, if I haven't met you, and it's good to be together. I have a lot I want to cover today, so I'm going to introduce a new series that we're going through, and then I'm going to give a message, and then I'm going to go through kind of some goals that we're going to try to work on for 4 months and kind of talk about the direction we want to go with those. And so there's a lot in that, which means we're going to have to fly. And I know other people, their minds are already on the Super Bowl, which is this afternoon. So we're just going to stop and kind of sit here for a bit. So I want to ask you to just come and be here, let go of whatever. So we're going to take about 30 seconds. And I just want you where you're at to sit and pray and just whatever's on your heart, give it to God and just center and just be here. So take a moment where you're at and just pray. God, thank you for life. Thank you for the fullness of our lives and all the good things that you've given us. Thank you for this time just to come together and enjoy each other and to intentionally be in your presence and worship you and to reflect and to hear your word. We ask that you would teach us this morning. Ask that you would take all the distractions and just bring us into a place. Holy Spirit, without your work, it's just a bunch of words today and just some activity. But ask that you would speak what you want to speak to each one of us. We just invite you here. Acknowledge that we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the new series we're starting is called The God Embrace. And the idea of it is what would happen if each of us were just completely vulnerable to God? If we just allowed God to see everything about us, any mask we had, we took off, any pretense, anything in our lives that we hang on to, we just let go of and said, this is who I am completely. If we were just spiritually naked before God, just completely vulnerable, what would God do? Would he laugh at us? Would he be disgusted with us? Would he be disappointed? And it is my firm belief that at that moment, in our complete openness, God would embrace us. And at the same time, to be embraced in the fullness of whatever we have is one of the most freeing things and the most empowering things. To know that when we come to God exactly as we are, not trying to clean ourselves up or pretend anything, he embraces us. And so that's the idea behind the God Embrace. And the hope is that it is a way of deepening a connection with God at the heart level. That's the hope. That is my hope. That each of us could deepen that connection with God at the heart level. And so today we're going to start just at that. What is the heart? And we're not talking about our physical beating heart that pumps millions of gallons of blood throughout our body. We're talking about the metaphorical expression of the heart, our inner being. What is our heart and do we need it and what is that about? So we're just going to start there with the heart, and then over the series we're going to kind of go look into some more of those things that the God Embrace. And the main thing I just want to communicate today is that our hearts are extremely valuable. In Proverbs 4:23, I think a very important verse, he writes, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Watch over your heart, because from it flow the springs of life. It is power in our lives. Our hearts are the rocket boosters of our lives. And I've been reading hundreds of verses in the Bible about the heart. And it's amazing the things that come from the heart. Our hearts are the source of passion, desire, the source of emotion and trust. Our hearts are the sources of courage and pride, insight and wisdom. I think in our view, we often don't associate heart with wisdom or insight. But in the biblical understanding, they associated those things with the heart as well, not just the head. Determination, appetite, affection. Our hearts drive us. They supercharge our lives. And so the question is that good or bad? Well, it depends. Depends on what direction it's going. If you got a supercharger in your life and you're going in the wrong direction, that might not be so helpful. Because it's going to take you a long way and really fast. And there's times I've looked back in my life, how did I get here? But if we can have our hearts in the right direction, what an amazing thing to be just driven by that power. Full blast. But our hearts can be deceived. Our hearts can be led astray. They can be sent off course and go in the wrong direction. If something can get our heart, it can get us to do about anything. And we see that around us all the time. We've experienced that in our own lives. It can get you to fall in love with someone and then later realize you don't even like them. What? It happens. It can lead us astray. We can spend our entire lives pursuing and being devoted to something. And sometimes you realize, what in the world? Why did I give my whole life? Or other times, wonderful. I gave my entire life to this. And it was worth it. It was valuable. And God is concerned about our hearts. God examines our hearts. In Matthew 15:8, Jesus says, he's quoting Isaiah, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." And he's saying that to their discredit. This is not good. I get this lip service. I get these people are doing their duties. They're saying the right words, but their hearts are far away. I want their hearts. In 1 Samuel 16, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance,'" he's talking about one of David's brothers, "'or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" That's what's important to him, is our hearts. So what should we do with this rocket booster in our life that we know can go the wrong direction? I'm sure we've all experienced it. What do we do with that? It's like a tank of nitrous oxide. Do we dare have it? Sometimes I think we think the best thing would be just kill it. Way too dangerous. Suppress it, get rid of it, or at least harden it. Because not only is it risky where it might take us, but there's a risk that we can get hurt when we have a heart. And if we could just take that heart and no longer care and just harden it, deaden it, we can just cruise through life. Just deadened hearts. But God says, no, we should not harden our hearts. We need them. Instead, we should direct our hearts. Not kill them, but direct them. We need to take care of our hearts. We need to nurture them. We need to watch over them, guard them, care for them. God wants alive, responsive hearts that believe and trust him. And just this morning, I went for a walk and I was praying. And I was just really struck with God wants us to enjoy him. God wants us to delight in him. And we sang that this morning. I delight myself in you. I delight myself in you. And I think at some point, if the things of God are becoming duties in our life, oh yeah, I gotta go do my God duty. We need to take a break from those things. Man. If the extent of my relationship with God is a bunch of duties, what good is that? I want to delight in God and find joy in Him. And not that my heart becomes more and more deadened by, okay, doing the right thing all the time. But my heart being alive, that I am loved by the greatest being in the universe. And I can enjoy His love and know Him. And get to know Him more and delight in Him. And He brings delight to my soul. And I want to be responsive. I want my heart to be responsive to Him. And to believe and trust Him. Even when my eyes see differently. Even when things in this life don't make sense to me. In Hebrews 13:12, it says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." See to it. At some level, you are responsible for your heart. See to it that you don't have a heart that is sinful and unbelieving, that turns away from the Lord. Do not let your heart do that. Turn your heart back to God. And sometimes that takes time. Sometimes those words are a lot harder to do. But to turn back. He wants our hearts. Hebrews 13:9, "Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings." There's plenty of them out there. "It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods." We strengthen our hearts. We feed our hearts with grace and to nurture our hearts. It's good for our hearts to be strengthened with grace, to remember the grace that we have, the gift, the favor of God that we never deserved, that we never will deserve, and enjoy that and be strengthened and allow our hearts to grow in that, to direct and care for our hearts. God desires for us to treasure Him with all our heart and soul. And I could have put a whole bunch of different words in there, treasure. Jesus says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And there's so many verses, there's dozens, that say, with all your heart and soul, seek God with all your heart and soul, love God with all your heart and soul, follow God with all your heart and soul, serve Him, obey Him, turn to Him with all your heart and soul. God wants all of our heart and soul. He wants them to be devoted to Him, undivided. To find that delight in Him. And even in that, I think there's an impossibility in us. There's no way on my own I can make my entire heart committed to God. I'll get distracted. I do. But the amazing thing is, because our hearts are so valuable, God transforms our hearts. He's able to change our heart. Our job is to trust Him. Trust Him to change us. In Ezekiel 11:19, "I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone." Man, I've had a heart of stone sometimes. "And give them a heart of flesh." Even this morning, we were praying before the service, and I think it was Phyllis, I think, was praying just for the crusty parts of her heart. This is a transformation that God does in us, and then He continues to do. At the core of my heart, I am new. I am. Because of that work of God. And then I have some crusty parts in my heart. Unbelieving, I don't know, self-centered. And God continues to transform us, continues to change me. God can change our hearts as we allow him and trust him. Galatians 4:6, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out Abba, Father. And Abba is kind of like Daddy. The Spirit in us that cries out, Daddy, Father. That tender connection that we've been given in the Spirit with a new heart. And the bulk of that is done. That work of transformation is done when we put our faith in Christ. When we put our faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in our heart and makes our heart new. And also, he continues to transform the crusty parts of our heart. I don't know why I like that phrase, but as we put faith in Christ and in what he's done and allow his life to go into those parts too and to continue to transform more and more of us and to surrender those parts, allow him to take care of that, allow the death of Christ to be complete, and then allow his life into those places, his resurrected life. And the Holy Spirit transforms us. Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts. Isn't that such a beautiful picture? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like the funnel into our heart where God's love is just dumped into us. And may we know God's love at the depths of our heart, at the depths of our being, and may it be our treasure and delight. And I honestly encourage you guys, if you have some places in your life where you're just going through the motions of duty with God, take a break from some of those. And find a delight, the delight of having a relationship with the God who loves you. More than, hey, make sure you do all these things. Especially now, we're going to go through some goals for 4 months. If it becomes to you a checklist of things to do, throw it away, please. It is intended to be a tool with some outcomes that I hope will be a blessing. If it becomes a burden and a duty you're doing, don't do it. May we have this treasure in God, a delight. I want more of him. I think spiritual disciplines do that. But sometimes spiritual disciplines become routine and can actually take us away from that grace. Prayer is an awesome tool. But if I burden myself, oh man, I didn't pray for the number of minutes I said I was going to. We lose that delight. So I want to go into some of the goals that we want to look at for the next four months. Some of the goals might be a little out of your comfort zone. Some of them are pushing me a little bit. And I want to invite you into those and ask you to participate in those. If you go to page 5, these are the three goals that we have kind of laid out for the next 4 months. So on page 5, it says living with intention. And so there's three areas. The first goal is tied into the greatest commandment. And the greatest commandment is in Mark 12 and a few other places where Jesus says, the most important commandment, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And so that's this series we're going through now. In 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. His love is the source of our love. So the desired outcome and what I'm hoping for and praying for is that we would deepen a connection with God at the heart level, over the next 4 months. And I'm hoping each of us has a connection at the heart level. But may we all deepen that, deepen a connection at the heart level. And so an action step that we're inviting you to take part in is to journal my honest thoughts and feelings once a week or more. And so some people read that already and they're like, what in the world? You want me to journal my thoughts and feelings? And some are like, yeah, I already do that, like, every day. And so for some of us, that's kind of pushing us, and for some it's maybe not as much. Then acknowledge and appreciate that God loves me right where I am, even with all those thoughts and all those feelings. All right, so if you go back in the booklet, I'm going to just lay out that goal a little more. If you go back to page 1, and you are welcome to use this booklet as a place to write your thoughts and feelings. Of course, write them anywhere. So on page 1, Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. I'm just going to read through this if you'll follow along with me. The hope of this journal is that it will be a tool for each of us to continue to develop an honest heart relationship with God. This may push many of us out of our comfort zones and seem like a very unusual tool. In a world where what we do and accomplish are often our main focus, we can become disconnected from the fact that we are spiritual beings. Yet our inner person is extremely important to God. In fact, our hearts and souls are mentioned hundreds of times in the Bible. The hope of this activity is that we can experience a greater degree of being known and loved by God on the inside. All right, the purpose is not to write things you did or things that need done, although we could probably all fill up pages of those. It is a place to write things of the heart, which includes our thoughts and feelings. Please stop a couple times a week. I think that would be great, or whenever you are able to. Write thoughts and feelings on the top of the page, and then to begin to write thoughts and feelings you have at that time. Do not write about things you did or things that need done. Write without any judgment, being as honest as possible. And I think there's times when it will be more thoughts, times it'll be more feelings. Either one, you can write all thoughts, you can write all feelings, but just thoughts and feelings. And I was amazed, I think it was it yesterday or the day before, I was doing this. I wrote thoughts and feelings, and I was like, I don't really know. I just got a bunch of jumbled. And I started writing, and slowly things started to become clear as I started to write. I'm anxious about my interaction with this person. And it's amazing to me to be aware, at least that day, I was experiencing a lot of fear in my life. I didn't really know it was there. And yet, I'm sure my family did, because it comes out of me. But I didn't know that I was feeling anxious. And as I start to write, I'm aware of my anxiety. There's something really cool about just bringing that out. And it's like, oh, I'm scared of this? Well, that sounded scary when it was down there and I didn't really look at it. It's actually not that big of a deal. I think God can handle that. After you have written, stop and acknowledge and appreciate that God loves me right where I am, even with all of those thoughts and feelings. And I wrote that on the bottom of my page. Thank you, God, that you love me right where I am, even with these thoughts and feelings. Even though I'm afraid, you love me. And I could have just pretended I wasn't afraid and that he loved me, but give God permission to lead you in those thoughts. What do you want to do in those and feelings? Take me wherever you want in those. If the page is painful or something you would rather not see, I know sometimes there's things in our lives that are that way, tear it out, shred it, burn it, whatever. Write it out, acknowledge that God loves you in it, and then do what you like with it. Otherwise, keep it and see what God is showing you over time. May we come to God in honesty, not hiding any behind any mask or fig leaf. May we each grow to experience even more that God is not ashamed or disgusted with us, but receives us. When we honestly let God see all of us, his response is to embrace us. How amazing that God knows everything about us, even more than we know about ourselves, and yet he loves us. May you feel his embrace. That is my hope for you. There's eight basic emotions. This is useful for some of us men. Just like we only know eight colors, I think there are only eight, right? Is there more than eight? Sometimes we only know two feelings. I'm fine, and I'm upset. Maybe those are like the two. I'm fine. Usually fine, but every now and then. But there's actually a lot of emotions. Sometimes it's useful just to look at that. Oh, anger. What am I angry about? What am I afraid of? What pain do I have? What am I sad about? What am I happy about? What joy do I have? Passion, love. What am I ashamed of? What am I feeling guilty for? There are many, many more, but just as a quick starting point. All right, so let's go back to page 5. So over the next 4 months, that's the first goal. The first goal is to really feel that embrace from God at the level of the heart and to deepen that heart connection. The second goal is tied into the second greatest commandment. And in Mark 12:31, the second most important commandment is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these, to love God and to love others. Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. The desired outcome would be to experience greater support and belonging in our church family and community. So that's kind of the specific piece of that we would like to see as an outcome. And an action step that I want to ask you to join into is to pray for 5 people a day. And I know some people said they have 35 people that they would like to pray for. So they would pray for 5 different people throughout the week. And then I know others said, I got 5 people that I would like to pray for every day. And just pray for those same 5 every day. And guess what? Most likely, unless you're, I don't know, super disciplined, you're going to miss some days. I already know. I'm going to forget some days. I don't know why. It's not really super hard, but I will. But I think this can actually be a tool to just build a sense of belonging and support. I have been so blessed in my life by people that have prayed for me. It has been a tremendous thing in my life. I shared this last week over at the other campus, and afterwards, a few guys were going around and just asking, hey, how can I pray for you this week? And I encourage you in that, if as you have opportunity, ask people, hey, what can I be praying for you? Write it down. Pray for people. For me, if I don't know specific needs of people, I pray for their relationship with God. May they know God and follow him. And then the last goal ties into what's called the Great Commission. The Great Commission is in Matthew 28:18-20. Before Jesus left, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So our desired outcome is that people in our city would hear the life-giving message of Jesus Christ, that people around us would have an opportunity to hear about what Christ has done for us, to set us free, to give us a relationship with God, and to give us an eternal home with him. And so the action step is to make a personal plan, each of us, of who and how I will share with others, and then implement it. Just sow it. In other words, just sow the seeds of the good news. Spread the message. And so this one's not as concrete, because I think we each have a different style or place we're at. I know some people said they're going to try to take one of the tracks, and every single day, either leave one with someone or leave it in the restroom somewhere. Leave it somewhere where someone could get it and read it. Itai was mentioning this morning in prayer, the founder of the Navigators, Dawson Trotman, he made it his goal that he wouldn't go to bed until he shared the gospel with somebody. And there was times he would get out of bed. He's like, oh man, I didn't get a chance to share the gospel with anybody. And he's on the street like hitchhiking just because he wants to talk to somebody. And that's pushing it. I appreciate his heart. I'm not at that spot. I know for some people it would be writing a letter to some key person in their life and just sharing their faith or sharing their testimony with somebody at work. In my life, I'm trying to once a week in my neighborhood walk around and pray for my neighborhood. And Leo and I, this week, we knocked on a few doors and just asked people, hey, is there anything we could pray for you in your life? And just to kind of intentionally have a plan of how am I going to share this message? Because I want people to hear it. People around us hearing about Christ, that's the goal. Since it's so vague, I think it would be easy for us to be like, oh yeah, whatever. I don't know. I'm going to make a plan in 2 months. But I want to ask you to make a plan. What would that look like for you? What would be a good action step for you? And how would you carry that out? So, all right. So, anyways, there we have it. That was a lot. Anybody get any drink from the fire hose this morning? So, our hearts are important. Don't lose your heart in the process. What is the purpose of the heart? Is it to distract me from what's important in life? It has distracted me at times. To make me do things I know I shouldn't do? That's happened too, probably. To make me fall in love? Yeah. But really, the purpose of the heart is to give me power to live out my beliefs. And hopefully those are beliefs that are worth living out with courage, conviction, determination, and joy. And may we engage it with our hearts and allow God to transform them. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in our midst. I thank you, God, that when you look at me, all of me, with all my weird quirks and all my thoughts that are sometimes in left field and all my emotions that I don't even understand. When you look at me, you love me. Thank you for your embrace. Thank you that you are not ashamed of me. God, I desire a greater connection with you from the depths of my heart. May you be each one of our treasure more and more. God, I give you these goals. I ask you, please, do not let them become a checklist of duties. May they be tools that nurture our hearts. May they be tools that are useful for others to come to hear about you. May they be tools of support. But God, I want to fall in love with you. I want to love you, follow you, and walk with you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for your power to give me a heart that cares about you and treasures you. I surrender to your work. Have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen.